Good afternoon. Thank you all very much for joining us. I'm happy to be joined by the Lieutenant Governor, Treasurer Fitzgerald, and the Budget Director, Dick Oshlow. There's no doubt that our state and nation face tough economic times. I know that people across Iowa and across the country are concerned about their jobs, their homes, their savings, and their future. As governor, I see that as clearly as anyone in Iowa. A big part of Iowa values is that we work hard and prepare for the future. And when it comes to our state's budget and fiscal management, that is exactly what we have done. Beginning last December, I ordered several steps to cut spending to maintain a balanced budget. Those steps included, one, across-the-board cuts of nearly $100 million that went into effect on January 1st. Number two, freezing personnel vacancies and new temporary positions unless approved by the Department of Management. Number three, reducing the amount of overtime. Number four, freezing out-of-state travel and reducing in-state travel. Number five, reducing equipment purchases, service contracts, and office supplies. Number six, cutting spending by the Regents institutions, judicial branch, and the legislature. Number seven, asking the legislature to appropriate funding for a new state office building. Number eight, eliminating all bonus pay in the state. As a result, we have saved more than $170 million during fiscal year 2009. Although the recession has caused our revenue to decline, as has been the case in every state, the combination of our $45 million ending balance for 2009 and my authority to transfer up to $50 million from our emergency reserve fund means our books will balance in 2009. And at this point, there is no legitimate reason for a special session. But let me be perfectly clear. As we begin the new fiscal year, I will continue to take any and all steps necessary, including further spending cuts and streamlining state government in order to save more money, and will do what it takes to maintain a balanced budget in the future. I might note that between the Lieutenant Governor and I, we have balanced more than 20 budgets over the last 10 years in state government, and we will continue to balance our budgets. We have already begun a process to do what we can to make government leaner and more efficient, and that will be our top priority during the interim, and we will have a proposal to submit early next session that hopefully will find us a way to save a significant money for fiscal year 11. While Iowa, like every state, faced this national economic recession, my administration has not overreacted or underreacted, but we've taken appropriate steps to maintain our fiscal strength. The result will lead to a balanced budget in the future, no tax increases, and high cash reserves, while maintaining our commitment to critical programs and undertaking an effort to create jobs across Iowa. And while we have had economic challenges, Iowa is better positioned than nearly every state in the nation to work our way out of this recession. In fact, as we speak, six states across America have not even approved budgets for the new fiscal year, which started this week. But in Iowa, we have many encouraging economic signs. Our state economy was the eighth fastest growing in the nation last year, according to the U.S. Bureau of Economic Analysis. The Des Moines metro area is the 14th fastest growing metro area in the nation. Just yesterday, a survey on business conditions in the Midwest found confidence returning as the index rose to its highest level since September. And even after accounting for the fiscal year 10 budget, our cash reserves stand at more than $440 million. Today, I'm very pleased to announce some more important news that is a clear sign of Iowa's strong fiscal management and stability. Standard & Poor's, the world's foremost provider of independent credit analysis, has reaffirmed Iowa's AAA credit rating, their highest possible rating, and we are only one of 11 states in America that has earned that AAA rating. For the first time ever, Iowa earned a AAA rating last September. Today, we are only, as I said, one of 11 states to have this. Only two states have earned it in the last 2 years, and we were one of them. S&P cited five factors in reaffirming their highest rating for Iowa. Number one, Iowa's diverse and stable economy. Number two, our strong fiscal management and our willingness to restrain spending and make mid-year corrections to maintain fiscal integrity. Number three, they said the state's solid financial operations, including our rainy day reserves, were impressive. They said four, that Iowa's good income levels were a very positive thing. And they recognized our state's very low burden of debt. That is a public report, it's available. And they cited those five factors for reaffirming our AAA bond rating. In addition to the state's overall rating, we've got some more good news from S&P for the upcoming sale of the iJobs bonds. S&P rated our iJobs bonds as double a high grade score. By comparison, an earlier state infrastructure program, Vision Iowa, initially received a rating of A+ from S&P, one step below what the iJobs bonds have been graded. And I want to thank the treasurer for his leadership on securing that AA bond rating. And it's something that we're very, very excited about, and it will mean a lower interest rate that we'll have to pay on those bonds. This is good news for Iowa and good news for iJobs. These ratings underscore the fact that while we are facing tough economic times, and no one is suggesting that fiscal year 2011 is going to be easy, Iowa remains fiscally strong and well managed. At the same time, we are going to be able to put iJobs funds to work quickly to rebuild our communities and create jobs statewide. We have, in the next 24 months, 12 to 24 months, we will have about $8 billion of investment in our infrastructure. We have just short of $1 billion for iJobs. We have $2.1 billion in DOT projects that the commission recently approved. We have $2.5 billion in stimulus money from the federal government, and we've secured more than $3 billion in flood recovery funding from the feds. I don't know if there's a state in the nation that has that type of economic investment in infrastructure anywhere in America. So that is also a very positive indication of our future economic success, because the sooner we can work out our way out of this recession and make these investments and create jobs, the more likely we're going to come out of the economic downturn. With that, I'd ask Treasurer Fitzgerald to say a few words.
Thank you, Governor. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I'm happy to be here today standing with the Governor. We've had a tough year. You know, we've had the worst recession since the Great Depression. There's all kinds of evidence. I won't go through it. You all know it. We've had it. Not only that, we've had the 500-year floods here in the state of Iowa. That was quite a blow for this state. And to top it all off, in March, we got hit with the swine flu. So our hog farmers are dealing with that. So it's been a tough year. But I'll tell you, as state treasurer, just in the past couple of weeks, I was with the team that went to the rating agencies on Wall Street to ask them, how are we doing? Will you rate us? Tell us what you think of the state of Iowa. And we got the gold star rating. We got a triple A rating for the state of Iowa. Now, this is Standard & Poor's. This is not a political organization. It's not a organization that takes things lightly. Professional Wall Street firm that rates states and businesses gave us the highest rating. And they don't just take our word or the information that we give them. They have their own independent research about our economy in the state of Iowa, and they verify the facts we give them about our budget and our reserves. They look at those audit reports and all those kind of things, and we got the highest rating. We're proud of that. And I'm proud that the governor has made that a high priority of his, that he mentioned the very first State of the State address, because it's been something we've been striving for in the state of Iowa for a long time, and we finally achieved it this past year. You know, in 2007 is when we got raised up to a AAA. And that was a pretty tough year, but we got raised up, and we just got it reaffirmed. So we're thrilled about that. And one of the reasons they state is good fiscal management, the willingness to demonstrable leadership that will cut spending and budgets during the course of a year. And most of you remember last December, the governor stood up here and made across-the-board budget cuts. And he also, before that, put out an executive order that gave, you know, cut further spending in state government. So we'd balance the budget. That's his job, but he did it. You didn't see Arnold Schwarzenegger and some of those folks doing that in other states. But our governor did that. Before it was really needed, how bad was it going to be? When the dark cloud showed up, he took action. And he's demonstrated it. And rating agencies appreciate it. It's a good management to step out front when the problems happen. It knows you're in control. And they've recognized him for that. And I, as treasurer, I appreciate that kind of leadership because it kept us with that AAA. And they singled that out. They also talk about our economy as diverse and singled out. You know, I was here in the 80s when we had the farm crisis. And a lot of you folks were too. And one of the criticisms, you're just relying on agriculture. We have diversified. You know, we got a strong financial base in the state, insurance companies, banks, whatever, alternative energy, tourism even. Iowa's done a great job of that. But we have good income levels, and we have very low debt. But there's been, I think, a misconception that's been floating around in the press here in the past few days about our budget. Like, oh, my gosh, we got a crisis. We don't. 2009, the budget that just ended 2 days ago, that budget is balanced. And we have almost $600 million in reserves. And that's, you know, like any business. This is going to take two weeks, maybe a month. And we have until September, under generally accepted accounting principles, to close the books, like all responsible businesses, so we know exactly where we're at. And there will be money come in from other departments that don't use all their budgets. It happens every year. That money will come in. There's other forms of things that need to be accounted for. Quite frankly, I was surprised to realize liquor and revenue generated over $100 million in profit this year. We were expecting only 82. We told the rating agencies they'd only be 82. They did over $100 million. So there's just a lot of things that have to be finalized before we can say how this year is going to officially end. But I have confidence that it'll end with a balanced budget. And I also have confidence that the budget that was put together for 2010 is balanced as well. It's based on 99% of what the Revenue Estimating Committee says. And the Revenue Estimating Committee has a good track record. Nobody's perfect in projecting the future, but they have a very good record. And we have a budget that's balanced. And next year at this time, if things go according to plan, and I'm not saying there won't be some variances, we'll have over a $400 million surplus next year. And then we have it, you know, if things don't improve, then we'll have some difficulty we have to work with. The governor and legislature are going to have to roll up their sleeves, and they'll have to do it next winter to balance the 2011 budget. But don't let anybody think this is California, where we're ready to issue IOUs, or we have to close the state parks, or shut down state government. We are strong, we have a healthy budget, we have a balanced budget, and we have a savings account that's flush. So I want to say that we're in good shape, and there's, you know, it's the political season. There's a lot of guys running for governor, and they want to take shots. But but at the end, you know, they're entitled to their opinions, but they're not entitled to their own facts. And they have to look at the facts just like Standard & Poor's looked at the facts. And they said, Iowa, you're AAA. And that was just reaffirmed. So anyway, I'm here to remind everybody of that and just to say we're on solid ground. Now I'd like to turn it over to the Lieutenant Governor.
I don't really think that I have much to add at this point. You've heard a great summary from both the governor and from the treasurer. The governor and I are concerned that people are worried about state government and about the future, and that's why we're here today, to make certain that people understand that bills are being paid on time. There's money in the bank. Essential services are being taken care of as they are every day, year in, year out. And we feel very confident that we are going to end this year and not have any need for special sessions or extraordinary measures beyond the toolbox that we have at our disposal now. And so with that, I think I'll just say, are there any questions, and bring the governor back up.
Well, actually, it's pretty common that there's disagreement between the Revenue Estimating Conference, the Legislative Fiscal Bureau, the Department of Management, and basically we disagree because we think that they're making assumptions that are premature, that they're basing that number on projections that are not accurate. And so what we need to do, the appropriate thing to do here, is to wait over the next 30 to 60 days to allow Iowa, the state, to close their books like any other business, large or small, and to have an accurate accounting of any possible shortfall. And that's why we feel very strongly that, given the tools, the economic emergency refund fund, I can transfer up to $50 million if I need to, and we have $45 million in the ending balance. So that gives us nearly a $100 million cushion. What we do know is, as of yesterday, everyone can agree that it was $58 million short. Everyone can agree on that. And so that would be a $13 million shortfall. Assuming we would use the ending balance, then we're 13. And I have the authority, if we had the information that we need and we could close the books tomorrow, we would be required to transfer about $13 million. So again, it's important that we focus on the very best facts and figures that we have. We are doing what governors for generations have done. You always have a 30 to 60 day period after the end of the fiscal year to accurately account for the spending. And that's what we're going to do this year. Well, why don't I let the budget director, Dick Oshlow, speak to that in more specificity.
Thank you, Governor. We believe there's a difference in methodology between our figures and what the Fiscal Bureau has projected in terms of refunds. It's Department of Management actually closes the books and has been vested with that authority. And we believe there's a disagreement and just don't buy their calculation. Has to do with cash basis accounting and accrual basis accounting, and where those refunds have been allocated, whether it's a previous year or this year. And obviously, on a $6 billion budget, it doesn't seem like a lot, but a few numbers can make a large difference. And so that's kind of a technical description of why we believe that the numbers are different. DOM also has probably more visibility to expenditures and reversions and how departments have managed the governor's cuts that he mentioned earlier, and if there are any reversions that will be occurring, and we think those will be running higher than they have in the past.
The one thing I'll add is it's not uncommon, Mike, for the Revenue Estimating Conference members to disagree. There's very commonly 2-to-1 votes, and the Revenue Estimating Conference was off about $57 million in their projections. They projected that revenue growth for fiscal year 9 would be at 3.9%. It was at 3% as of yesterday. So, And the legislature and our office were required to put our budget together based on those estimates. And there's also regular disagreement between the executive branch and the legislative branch when we're, as you will recall, when we're putting budgets together, we often don't agree on the estimates. In fact, I've always been on the conservative side, fortunately, in terms of our projections for how much we will have to spend. And so again, I think we have a track record here that stands up to some of this, you know, partisan criticism. I'm sorry? Absolutely. What a timely testimonial from S&P. They've just looked at our books inside and out. They've looked at our debt. They've looked at our revenue streams. They've determined, and we'll give you the full report, that Iowa is one of the best managed states in America. I am very confident that we are going to balance the budget, close the books on 09, without having a special session, yes. What we are going to do, as I've done for 30 months now as governor, is we are going to be proactive. We are meeting regularly and will continue to put together a plan to streamline state government so that it can be better managed, more efficient. We want to find cost savings. We're very interested in things like consolidating group purchasing agreements, consolidating information technology. Do we need 10 or 15 email systems, or should we have one? We are going to push very hard during the interim and propose in early January a cost savings plan. And we're looking at reorganizing, too, where we can perhaps find some efficiencies in an effort to reorganize. The Legislative Interim Committee is also meeting, and we're going to work together and hopefully have a bipartisan plan. The Revenue Estimating Conference will meet in the first part of September. They're required by law to meet every quarter. It is likely that I will call them back earlier than that. I've done that before, instead of waiting on their projections. Another proactive step that we've taken in the past that I will likely take again. So I'll probably have them meet in August instead of waiting until September. And then based on what they tell us about the first quarter of fiscal year 10, we will have 9 months to react. And again, we have about a $530 million cushion right now for 10. Granted, we might need to use some of that for 9. How much, we're not exactly sure. We'll know in the next 30 to 60 days. So it is very possible that I'll have to do additional cuts, and we're gonna take that step as quickly as we know the facts, when I put my budget together, I will do so in a way that is consistent with the last 10 budgets that I've submitted to the legislature as Secretary of State and as governor. I have a constitutional duty to balance, and I will. And we will get that done. There's no question. I think there's one more important fact here. Fiscal year 10, another thing that we did in 10, in addition to the $170 million in cuts, we actually spent 2.5% less in 10 than we spent in fiscal year 8. That represents about $135 million less. So again, in a very partisan way, the Republicans running for governor are misleading people and suggesting that we're spending more. We're in state taxpayer money, we're spending 2.5% less. So we've been lean, we've been efficient, and we will continue to be. Now, the federal stimulus money, we are required to use that. But it's not appropriate for them to add that to our state spending. It's a one-time stimulus. And so I think it's very important to make sure that we hold those people accountable, because as that are misleading Iowans, it's just not fair, it's not appropriate, and there's no need for alarm. We are one of the best managed states in the nation, and S&P has just reaffirmed that. Rod.
The last time Proactive met on across the board cut, but it protected areas like education and Medicaid and a few others. I'm reading into what you're saying that likely, rather than dip deeper into the reserve account, because at least you got a $58 million problem and it escalates in fiscal 2010.
Right. Sure. I think that's fair to say that that is certainly a tool that we have, because we do want to make sure that as we carry over into fiscal year 11 that we have an ending balance and as much as possible in the reserves. So the more that we can do early in fiscal year 10, the better. The less pain, if you will, that we'll have to implement in 11. The other thing that you have to be very careful of, you know, we're very optimistic about the economic impact this $8 billion of infrastructure investment is going to have. And the question is when is that really going to kick in terms of pulling Iowa out of the recession? Another good indication: within the last month, Iowa was listed as one of the top 12 states in the nation to come out of the recession. The projection is that we'll come out in the second quarter of next year. So we want to be very smart about when and if we make these additional cuts and to try to limit, obviously, the impact that they will have. We don't need more people to be laid off during a recession. We don't want teachers and police officers and others to lose their jobs. And that's why President Obama stepped up and pushed through the stimulus. This is a challenging time, but again, I think we're managing and navigating very effectively through it. And I frankly don't know if there's a state in America, you all can check, but with the exception of, you know, maybe a couple of states, I don't know if there's a state in America that has more than $500 million in their ending balance and their cash reserves for fiscal year 10. And we know that six states don't even have a budget for 10. And on Tuesday, it was 10 states that didn't have a budget for fiscal year 10.
Saying I am confident in the balance is not an absolute declaration. Why do you leave yourself that wiggle room?
We have to make sure that we account for every penny. We need the roughly 60 days before we can officially close the books. And I am extremely confident that we'll be able to balance in 09. And we're going to take the time that is necessary to ensure that we can. It would be irresponsible to prematurely close the books and say it's balanced. We're not permitted to do that. But we don't know what has happened in terms of all the revenue and all the receipts. But I am extremely confident that we will not need to have a special session, that we will be able to balance the budget and close the books on 09 without having to do that.
Governor, as you know, the farm crisis in the 80s pushed Iowa's finances into hot water. You talk about the potential recession ending in the second quarter of next year. With this week's corn crisis taking a huge hit, are you concerned that might extend the recession?
No, I'm actually very encouraged that it appears as if we're going to have the best corn crop and the best soybean crop perhaps in history, assuming we get cooperation from Mother Nature. But right now, things look very, very good, and that's the most important thing, is how are we doing in terms of those beans and the corn. There is concern in terms of the feed stock and the cattlemen and the pork producers. One of their challenges has been the price for corn in particular. So actually that slight dip in price might help one segment of our economy. The other thing I'm very optimistic about and working very hard on as the co-chair of the governor's ethanol coalition is the likelihood that the EPA will allow us to increase the percent that we blend. We're asking for moving from 10% ethanol to 15%. That would be a fabulous thing for Iowa corn growers, for our ethanol industry. So I'm more focused on the likelihood of having a very good crop and what that means. I think if we had a drought condition, that would be a whole nother story. I might ask the Lieutenant Governor to comment briefly on that question, too.
I think you've capitalized that one pretty well, too. Of course, agriculture is very cyclical, as you know, Jason, and high-priced corn is hard on livestock producers and good for row crop farmers. The beauty of it, of course, in Iowa is that most all of us are a little of both, and so it kind of all balances out. So I think that, you know, the projections that the second quarter next year Iowa should be around the bend are probably accurate and on target for now anyway.
The other thing, Jason, that's very encouraging is that the land values have held, unlike the farm crisis. That was very problematic, and one reason we earned a AAA bond rating, S&P has recognized the diversity in our economy, and they cite the somewhat stable ag sector as a very positive thing overall.
And we've said a couple times here today, and I think that is a big difference between the 80s and now, is the diversity in the economy, the less dependence in Iowa on one sector only. It just makes us much more stable than we were before. And yeah. I lived through before.
Okay. Yeah. I think it's important for anyone in elective office, especially those running for governor, to be responsible, to not try to scare people. And I think Iowans are, in part because of this political rhetoric, they're not sure, you know, what the situation is. And I think, unfortunately, that's probably the partisan intent of some of this. And, I think it's important that we deal with the facts, and we've outlined them today, I think very effectively. It's expected. There's a lot of, you know, political banter and back and forth, and I'm just hopeful that we can wait and really get into the partisan differences next year, at least during election year. Right now it's time to govern, it's time to get things done, it's time to work together during a very challenging economic time, and that's been my focus. Thank you all very much. Thank you.